This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. You can email us talk@talklouisiana.org. We are joined by a man of the world, Jan Moeller, born in Sweden, worked in Washington, D.C. for many years with the legendary Jack Anderson. He's been in Louisiana since 2003. He covered local and national politics at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and then came to the Picayune, and for the last 7.5 years, he's switched gears just a bit, but he's still in many of the same places that he occupied as a journalist. He is head of the Louisiana Budget Project, executive director the last 7.5 years, and that organization monitors state government spending and how it affects Louisiana's low to moderate income families. Quite often I'll see the Budget Project quoted, or you quoted, and it's always, almost invariably, Jan says, left-leaning Louisiana Budget Project. I don't see any stories saying right-leaning Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Is that fair, Jan Moeller?
I can't get them to seem writing get them to stop writing that, but if they want to quote us, I'm not going to complain.
There you go. And in the old days, being a liberal was something that's – I'm old enough to remember when candidates actually campaigned as liberals. I remember Birch Bayh, of all things, a senator from Indiana, campaigned as a liberal. Today, nobody embraces that term.
Absolutely. I don't know why it's gotten a bad word. We're obviously a nonpartisan organization, but we do have a point of view, and that is that government should work for the people who need it the most. We have a huge problem in this state with poverty. We have almost half of the households in this state struggling to make ends meet on a month-to-month basis, and those are the folks who need state government in particular to work better than it does, whether it's providing education or safe communities or health coverage or any of the things that people need to live healthy, productive lives and reach their full potential.
And those people are quite often not seen at the Capitol. The people who are lawmakers and lobbyists, and usually those who are testifying before committees, they're a little better off than the 50% that you just cited.
Absolutely, Jim. And that's one of the first things you notice when you're a reporter up there, is that, you know, the people, the industries of this state, whether it's oil and gas or health care or insurance or anybody who has a big financial stake in this state is usually very well represented at the Capitol. But the people who go to work every day or who are struggling to make ends meet are not as well represented in the halls of the Capitol. That doesn't mean legislators don't care about them, but they're not seen in the same way. And so we try as best we can to speak for those folks and to promote policies that will help lift those folks up and create an economy that works not just for those at the top, but for everybody.
Jan Moeller, native of Sweden, but raised in Pittsburgh, graduate of the American University in Washington, D.C. 877-217-5757 if you'd like to join the conversation. We're going to cover some ground with him. You wrote a letter to the editor a few days ago regarding Medicaid, and on the record, the governor, of course, is an advocate of Medicaid expansion. He believes it's done wonders for Louisiana, but yet Senators Kennedy and Cassidy differ with that assessment. Who's right? Who's wrong?
Well, on this one, the governor's right. And I think we can't underestimate just the enormous achievement, I think it is, to have, we are at record levels of a record low uninsured rate in this state. When I came here, about 20% of the public was without health insurance. That is down below 9%. We used to be one of the highest uninsured states in the country. We're now below the national average. So we always talk about these lists where Louisiana is 50th and we should be first and vice versa. Here's an area where we've made enormous progress. And the reason for that is no secret. There was a lot of federal dollars out there available to help expand coverage to low-income adults who couldn't afford health insurance any other way. We took advantage of that. The governor signed an executive order on his first day in office, and almost 500,000 Louisianans have health coverage today as a result. That's an enormous achievement, and think about the health security that comes with that. Unfortunately, there are folks at the legislature who want to make that seem like a bad thing, by harping and trying to portray this program as being filled with fraud. And they've sort of made up this they're trying to make up this crime of recipient fraud. The fact is that, yes, there are some folks, some bad apples in the Medicaid program who sometimes rip it off, and we should definitely police and get those people out of the program. But the vast majority of dollars in that program goes to provide health care for people who need it and who can't otherwise afford it.
All right. Imagine hypocrisy at the Capitol. And a listener notes that former President Reagan railed against welfare queens, and yet he took public assistance when he was out of work in the 1950s. And Bill Cassidy has voted to undo the Affordable Care Act, which would mean undoing Medicaid expansion. And he's a man who spent most of his career on the public dole working at Earl K. Long Hospital.
Well, and Dr. Cassidy did amazing work in the state charity hospital system. He knows as much or more than anybody in Louisiana about the problems that people have who don't have health insurance, who don't have the security that you and I do to be able to call a doctor when we get sick and go in and pay a copay and get the care that we need. But the charity hospital system was a, you know, mid-20th century model for providing health care. I think that the better way to do it is to provide health coverage. It gives people choices of where to go, and that's what Medicaid expansion does. People now are using public dollars to provide private insurance for people who cannot get it any other way, and they now have a choice of doctors and providers. And more importantly, they have the security of knowing that if they get sick, if they get in an accident, if they, you know, fall down in the shower and break their hip, that they that they're going to be able to get the care they need, but also that they're not going to get a pile of bills that will leave them bankrupt.
877-217-5757. And as mentioned, we're covering some ground with Jan Moeller in our time with him, the executive director of the Louisiana Budget Project for the last 7.5 years. Perhaps surprisingly, the first hurdle was cleared with the Equal Rights Amendment, clearing a Senate panel, 4-3, 4 Democrats voting yes, 3 Republicans voting no. This is something that probably has no chance in Louisiana. But back in the day, in 1972, the Senate, in its wisdom, in Louisiana, voted 25-12 for the Equal Rights Amendment. The amendment, for those unfamiliar, this is the entirety of it. This is all it says. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex.
Seems pretty straightforward to me. I don't know how this turned into a debate over abortion at the state capitol this week. I've never understood why this is such a political lightning rod, frankly. I'm not old enough, and I just turned 50, to remember when the ERA was a hot topic, but I'm certainly glad to see this debate happening. I agree with you that obviously, if this continues to be a party-line debate at the state capitol, it's not going to pass. But I think it's great that it made it this far, and I'm glad we're having this conversation publicly because it's certainly one that we should be having and one that's long overdue.
And Tracy at the Capitol notes, in fact, you and I discussed this, that it's curious that Governor Edwards has not taken a stand on it.
I would love to see the governor take a stand on this, but, again, that's between him and his advisors.
Well, the governor has stated that he's for equal pay. That one's been dead on arrival for 3 years in a row. He's back at it again. And I think if he were not to take a stand, he probably would say, look, we don't need this. But he can't get an equal pay amendment through. And this would involve equal pay for men as well as women for the same job. Why is that so difficult?
That's another one that's really tough to understand. You know, this year the debate is about pay secrecy and a bill that says if you're an employer, you can't forbid your employees from discussing their salary with their coworkers. And the idea is that if people can discuss these things openly, mm-hmm. then an employer would be less likely to pay their female employees less than their male employees. That makes common sense, and I think the idea of having a gag rule in the workplace makes no sense at all. I guess they're worried about trial lawyers. I don't know, but this should be a no-brainer.
Well, there have been people fired for leaving their paycheck on their desks at some of these businesses. 877-217-5757, your number. We're back after the news. This is Jim Inkster. Happy Friday to you. Matt Doyle is producing, and in-house is Jan Mower, Executive Director of Louisiana Budget Project. Earlier this week, a Senate panel voted 4-3 to advance the Equal Rights Amendment to the full Senate for debate. It's likely to be dead on arrival, but the measure, which has been passed by 37 states, says equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. That's it. That's all it is. What do you think? Patrick in Innisfail states. Good morning, Patrick. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, your guest earlier was talking about the definition of a liberal. I'm a liberal. A liberal believes in limited government. They don't believe that government should be controlling everything, controlling your business, stealing from you to pay for other people's freebies, their free benefits. Everything he talks about involves big government either stealing money from people to give to other people that don't work, or are telling them how to run their business. That's not being a liberal. A liberal believes in liberty. They believe in giving freedom to the individual and not in big government, big monarchies. It goes back to when the king and queens ruled all of France or whatever, and their monarchy was so strong, absolute control. The liberal believes in the individual, limited government.
I think he's talking about a libertarian point of view, but Jan, Patrick certainly echoes a lot of people who believe, look, they work hard for their money, and they don't have a whole lot left over either, and the last thing they want to see is some freeloader getting money from the government. Is it that plain and simple, or is it a bigger picture?
Your caller and I are going to have to disagree on the definition of liberal, but one thing I want to make clear is this argument about freeloaders. We have a lot of poor people in Louisiana. The vast, vast majority of poor people in Louisiana either work or live in a working household. People who are poor in this state are not poor because they refuse to work. They're poor because they're working hard and their jobs don't pay very much. Mm-hmm. We can't seem to get off the list of being one of five states without a minimum wage law on the books. We have some of the lowest levels of educational attainment in this country, and those are the reasons that we stay poor in this state. So taxation is not theft. Taxation is how government has functioned for thousands of years. There are legitimate debates to have about the level of taxation, who we should tax, how much we should tax. But Louisiana overall is still a low-tax state compared to most states. That's not the problem. The problem is we're not doing a good enough job of educating, training our people.
All right, 877-217-5757 for Jan Mower and Ronald Reagan, the 40th president. If taking government benefits as a freeloader, he was a freeloader in the 1950s when he was out of work and took unemployment benefits. Will in North Baton Rouge. No, Will, you're on the air with Jan Mower.
Jan, yes. How y'all doing this morning? I'd like to make a statement, and a lot of people wouldn't agree with it, but I like to see the reason why they go against equal pay, because I think it's just simply this, a black and a white thing, because I've seen black men and white men doing the same job, and I've seen the white man getting paid an enormous amount more than what the black man gets paid. And I think that it just boils down to a black and white deal. They just don't want to pay a lot of black people the equal pay that they deserve.
You know, I haven't heard that said explicitly at the Capitol, but I think that's it's certainly true that there are historic barriers in Louisiana that have kept people mm-hmm. of color behind and from reaching their full potential, and that certainly is an undercurrent in a lot of what happens at the state capitol. I don't disagree at all.
Thank you, Will. 877-217-5757 for Jan Mower. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Jan. I heard Mr. Jan saying that he was a little too young to remember the arguments about ERA back in the day. And, of course, we all know that I'm way too young to have remembered it. But I studied a little bit of history, and what I discovered is that the usual nutcases were up there saying that if ERA is passed, we'd outlaw separate bathrooms, men and women to be in there together, and evil in general was going to happen. I mean, it was going to be the end of the world. They said that God would be mad at us if ERA passed.
You know, I don't know quite how to respond to that, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. You know, certainly we've been practicing equal rights in my household for a long time, and I think most people believe that there should be equality in that sense. I don't really understand. You know, I don't think the world will end if Louisiana becomes the 38th state to pass this, but we'll have to see what the Senate mm-hmm. thinks about it.
The measure says equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. And another listener, Holly in the Garden District, asks how Katrina Jackson is likely to vote on this if she casts a vote in the House. She's a very conservative Democrat, as we know, head of the Black Caucus, I believe.
She's not the head of the Black Caucus. She was at one point, yeah.
But she is running for the state Senate, probably would be against it. That would be my guess, but I don't know that.
I have no idea how Representative Jackson is going to vote on this, and I don't like to predict how any member is going to vote until the vote is cast.
Well, you can usually gauge things by the way they voted in the past. And there are some conservative Democrats. In fact, Jan, the most conservative person in the legislature may be a Democrat, and one John Milkovich.
John Milkovich seems to be a party of John Milkovich more than he's a Democrat or Republican. I think
he is a Democrat.
He is a Democrat, but he seems to confound members of both parties up there. You know, Senator Milkovich has his own ideas.
Well, maybe we need more individualism, though.
He's certainly willing to be a voice in the wilderness. You know, there are a lot of if you see a 38-1 vote in the Louisiana Senate, chances are good that the one vote is from Senator Milkovich. So he's not afraid to take a stand for what he believes. And again, you're probably right. There should be more people willing to stand up for what they think, even if I disagree with him.
Even
on some
if it's
of those
unpopular.
Things.
877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Jan Moeller.
Yeah, Mr. Moeller, have you had the opportunity to debate Grover Norquist?
I have not. I haven't seen Grover Norquist in the state very much the last few years since Governor Jindal left office, and I'm kind of happy that he's off the scene. I think he did a lot of damage to our tax and budget debate, and I'm glad that he's no longer a big factor in state government. I hope he stays in Washington.
Well, we haven't seen much of Bobby Jindal either.
No, he's made a dignified retirement from public life. I think he pops up in the Wall Street Journal now and then with an op-ed, but he seems to be enjoying his private life. I assume his kids are getting close mm-hmm. to college age at this point.
Yeah, in fact, his daughter was named Student of the Year at Baton Rouge High.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I saw her in the paper as a National Merit Scholar,
yeah, beautiful,
I think.
Beautiful woman, and she probably will be politically inclined at some point.
It's amazing how fast time flies. My first year in Louisiana as a reporter, I covered Bobby Jindal's first race for governor, and I think Celia Jindal, who he talked a lot about on the campaign trail, was about 1.5 or 2 years old at the time, and it was long before I had mm-hmm. kids of my own. It's hard to imagine her going off to college.
Well, and Jan, despite being a, quote, leftist, is a good friend, and I think I'm not really revealing anything. He's a good friend with former Governor Bobby Jindal, which says something about both of you.
Well, I disagree with Governor Jindal a lot on policy, but I have a lot of respect for him as a person, and he was very kind to me on a personal level at some difficult times for me. So I will always be grateful to him for that. And again, we can disagree on policy without being disagreeable and taking it personally.
Maggie in Mid-City. Maggie, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that if Bobby Jindal's daughter was a National Merit Scholar, then she's certainly more than just beautiful, Jim. But
I think I mentioned that, but go ahead.
Yeah, you sure did emphasize.
Jan is handsome, anyway. Too, so we do sometimes note how people appear. But
oh, I've noted that on your show for sure. So I do want to say recently in Baton Rouge specifically, there was a similar effort to pass an equal rights aren't good for the city. And the Baton Rouge Chamber, it died, and the Baton Rouge Chamber came out, maybe not publicly, but they did say that it's bad for business to pass these sorts of things. That seems like would certainly be a myth, considering that half the population is, or 51% is women. So could you just kind of speak to that myth, Jan, like that gender equality is bad for business?
I have no idea. I can't speak to what the chamber was doing publicly or behind the scenes because I wasn't following it closely. But I do think that the most successful companies, and I think companies are often ahead of politicians on some of these things. We saw yesterday in the Senate Labor Committee, we had three prominent business leaders come up and argue for a higher minimum wage. Companies like Costco and Walmart have gotten ahead of Louisiana politicians on wages. And I think if you're a company that wants to grow and that is wants to attract the best and brightest, the way you do that is to provide a workplace that is free of discrimination, that treats everybody with dignity and respect, and hopefully provides things like paid family leave and good benefits. I mean, those are the things in a competition for workers. Those are the things that are going to set companies apart. Those are the things that I hope millennials look for when they choose a job, and we ought to have more of that.
Thank you, Maggie. 877-217-5757. We'll return to the phone lines. There is one line open, though, and you can send us an email if you wish to talk@talklouisiana.org. A minimum wage measure took a step at the Capitol yesterday, but this one, too, is expected to die another death 4 years in a row. At the hands of a conservative-dominated legislature. And the Equal Rights Amendment is probably dead on arrival, but again, the entire text, the equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. We'll talk about it. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Jan Moeller, head of the Louisiana Budget Project, and we're going to talk about a few matters, but we have a few people waiting to talk with Jan, including Caitlin and Walker. Hi, Caitlin. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. I was just wondering if you knew any of, like, the reasons they're not going to vote for the equal rights. And we have such high taxes, or I feel like there's high taxes in Louisiana, but could it be the misuse of funds that we're having such problems in Louisiana?
Well, thank you for those questions. I don't honestly know why people are going to vote against the Equal Rights Amendment. It seems to me like a no-brainer. But again, if you read the political tea leaves, that seems to be where this is heading. As far as taxes, I don't think anybody loves to pay taxes. But the truth is, in Louisiana, our taxes are very low compared to most states. We do have the highest sales tax in the country, or almost the highest sales tax. I think we're a hundredth of a point below Tennessee. But our income taxes are quite low compared to almost every other state that has an income tax. Our property taxes tend to be low. So overall, our tax base is fairly low compared to most. And I think those are the reasons why we struggle to pay teachers what they're worth. We aren't investing enough in higher education, and we can't even seem to provide any state funding for early childhood education. And there's even talk right now of not being able to fund the SNAP program in food stamps. So I don't think it's misspending. I think, in a $10 billion general fund, not every dollar is going to be perfectly allocated. But for the most part, the things we pay taxes for, we buy things like education and healthcare that people need. The question is, how much money do we want to bring in, and do we want to have a more robust safety net and an education system than the one we do now? And if we do, we're going to have to pay for it, frankly.
877-217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org. Glenn in Independence says, hasn't the ERA expired? Isn't it too late to pass it now? It's never too late to pass it, but the states that have ratified it, 37 of them, the expiration date on many of those has expired. You're correct, but the presumption by some is that you could go back and get lawmakers to pass it again. But as we know, things have changed, and I think four states have voted to rescind their earlier ratification. So this is far from a done deal. But once again, it's a very simple amendment, just a few words, and yet it has created so much controversy then and perhaps now. And in Louisiana, you can bet that it will find a lot of opposition. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you, Ray.
Oh, good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking the call. And appreciate your guest, by the way, and hope you get him back also. A couple of subject of interest. You said the liberal is not something very used these days. And I did look it up while I was listening to the early program, and one of the best definitions was open to new ideas. And obviously that's not something that our legislature is. And the Equal Rights Amendment, minimum wage, and raise some taxes so we can pay teachers a living wage.
Maybe open to change. Conservatives often embrace the past, and there's something to be said for that. And some people move from issue to issue based on their opinions and beliefs, whether they're conservative or liberal. A lot of liberals didn't like the monuments being taken down in New Orleans. Jan, is it simple where you can just tag somebody, put on their forehead, Jan Moeller, liberal?
I think we're all complicated, and I think we all have, depending on the issue, beliefs that would fall under liberal, conservative, libertarian, and none of us are exactly the same, and none of us have beliefs that line up exactly with a particular party or philosophy. But I do like the idea of that liberalism means open to new ideas, and I think when we talk about the legislature, the question is, are we happy with where we are right now, or do we think we can do a little better? Our simple belief is that we're going to have the best way to grow the economy is from the ground up, and that means making better investments in people who need a hand up and who need some help in education, a strong safety net, and some of the things that state government can do.
Shaw on Segan. Hi, Shaw. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I was interested, and I heard him say he didn't have any ideas about why the conservatives are against voting for the women's equal rights. And I guess one of my questions comes to mind is, aren't there enough of them young enough who are looking to the future and would like Louisiana to be known for something pretty positive?
I would hope that would carry the day. I have to be honest, I did not listen to the debate on this amendment the other day. I was in a different committee at the legislature, and I tried to pop my head into the committee room where this was being heard, and it was at absolute overflow. It was over capacity. So I wasn't even able to go in and just listen for a few minutes to the debate. So I really wanted to understand this. I'll probably go back over the weekend and listen because I am very curious.
And all of the committees are dominated by Republicans because of their numerical advantage. Now, Ari asked how it got through, and my guess is that either some Republicans didn't vote or they weren't there, but they had enough for a quorum and all the Democrats were there.
I think it was a party line vote, and not all the committees in the Senate are Republican dominated.
Okay.
There are, for example, the Labor Committee yesterday that advanced the minimum wage bill that got out of committee that I hope we can spend a minute talking about is actually have Democratic majorities, and same with the Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Committee.
All right, Demetrius in Lafayette. Hi, Demetrius. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning. Okay. Did we lose? There's Demetrius. No, we lost him, I believe. What about minimum wage? It did pass a committee yesterday, and some believe that it was a victory and perhaps a surprise that the Senate Labor and Industrial Relations Committee voted for it 5-1.
Well, the governor is trying a little different tack. The last couple of years, he's been asking for an $8.50 an hour minimum wage. This year, it's a constitutional amendment. So the legislature would be voting on whether to let the people of Louisiana decide whether Louisiana should have a $9 an hour minimum wage starting in 2020. So if And if you read the polls, and the Louisiana survey came out just last week, I believe, there's overwhelming support across party lines for having a higher minimum wage. Louisiana is one of five states that doesn't have it. So that's what the amendment that got out yesterday. Of course, there's a higher bar to a constitutional amendment than just a regular bill. It takes two-thirds. So you're right, there's still some very high political hurdles to clear. But hopefully the legislature will let the people decide this issue.
Well, thank you, Jan Moeller. And we do want to go to a tape from 20 years ago when the great trumpeter Al Hurt of New Orleans died. And on the radio that day were Pete Fountain, his counterpart in New Orleans, and the public relations legend Gus Weil, both of whom knew Jumbo, and they commented on the death of Al Hurt, who was at the first New Orleans Jazz Fest 50 years ago with Pete Fountain. They were the headliners along with Mahalia Jackson. Here they are, April 27th, 1999.
You couldn't get any better. The man was a phenomenal musician, technician, and jazz player, and play with the symphony, do anything you want. He had it all in one bag.
And classically trained.
Classically trained. It's unbelievable.
Well, at one time in New Orleans, your clubs were just a stone's throw apart in
French
Quarter.
I was at 800. He was at
500.
And then I moved up to 200 Bourbon. And I stood there, you know, a good while he had his club. Then he closed his club, and he went on the road for a while. And so then the last couple of years, he's been playing, you know, at the, what's the name?
Chris Owens.
Well, some would say that that was really the heyday for the French Quarter when you were three blocks apart and doing what you did as well as anybody in the world for the folks in New Orleans and for all those who visit the Crescent City on a regular basis.
It was jumping at that time. You know, you're talking about the 60s into the 70s. So we, you know, for almost 12 or 14 years, the street was really jumping with jazz. They had the Paddock Lounge between us. Between Al and I, and you know, a lot of other clubs that had good jazz.
Well, you're still playing to this day on a regular basis at the Hilton, correct?
Yeah, I'm still tooting. I've been at the Hilton now 22 years, and I could find my car. I couldn't find it in the quarter most of the time, but now I have my own parking space, and it makes it easier. And we do one show a night, and four nights a week. So it, you know, I can last it. Another couple of years, as long as just watch my health, that's all.
Jim.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, these two guys, the late Al Hurt and Pete Fountain, they had two interesting qualities. First, they were geniuses, or geniuses, as Pete is, at their respective instruments, the clarinet and the trumpet. But secondly, these guys are absolutely without ego. They are now as they probably were when they were in the extermination business.
That's Gus Weil, who died April 13th of last year, and Pete Fountain, who died in 2016. And in the Congo Square in the year of 1970, 350 people showed up for the first Jazz Fest. It's now ongoing in its 50th year. For Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend, and stay tuned.